Okay, I think we're on Turkish time today, so my apologies for the lateness. We're almost 8 minutes, 9 minutes late, but here comes our other speaker, so I think we'll be on the way fairly soon. Okay, there are other people who have accepted, and I know they're going to come, but that's what happens with morning meetings in Washington. Thank you all for coming, and thank you for making time in your schedules. My name is Bülent Alirza. I direct the Turkey project here at CSIS. Our research associate and coordinator, Sedat Çiftçi, who is just arranging the lights, he's going to be sitting at the other end. And the newest member of our team, who just joined us, is Sevgi Karçeşme, who's going to be handling the PowerPoint for one of the two presentations. It's been 4 years, and some of you were in the room for that occasion, since we hosted Recep Tayyip Erdogan at the head of a GDP delegation in Washington. It was January 2002, and a great deal has happened in the past 4 years. He spoke at CSIS in January. He won the elections in November. Of course, there's no connection whatsoever between the two events. But, you know, I thought it would be appropriate to look at what has happened to the AK Party, Justice and Development Party in English, in the past 4 years. So we invited two founding members of the party, Mr. Şaban Dişli, to my left, who is Vice President of the Party for External Relations, and Mr. Zapsu, whose full title is, and we did not indicate that on the invitation, who is a special assistant to the chairman of the JDP and coordinator for information, I believe. First, it will be Mr. Dişli, who will give a focus naturally on foreign relations, and as a former banker, he will also deal primarily with the economy. And then he'll speak for about 15 minutes, and then Mr. Zapsu will pick it up from there and give a broader view. Now, what has happened in the past 4 years? Well, obviously, the JDP won the elections, and they've been in power ever since. And Mr. Erdogan has made it very clear that he intends to go right to the end of the parliamentary term, which will take us to November 2007. Clearly, that means we've got another year to go. Important developments included, of course, the March 1st vote and the impact on U.S.-Turkish relations, progress on Turkey's EU application, which Mr. Erdogan here, and much more importantly, on the day of the election, identified as the primary goal for this government. On the domestic front, you know, what is conspicuous to me is that not much has happened. The fears of those who suspected that the JDP had a secret agenda to change Turkey, those fears have proved unfounded. They have not made any significant moves on the Islamic headgear issue. They have not made significant moves on the religious schools. They've continued with the IMF program that they inherited from their predecessors. Now, that may be a source of disappointment to some of the people who voted for them, but, you know, it would be interesting to hear exactly what our two speakers have to say on the domestic issues as well as on foreign policy issues. So without further ado, the floor is now Mr. Dişli's and then Mr. Zapsu. They will speak one after the other, and then we will go to the Q&A. Again, Mr. Dişli, welcome to CSIS.
Thank you, Bülent Bey. Thank you for invitation. Actually, Bülent Bey was trying to bring me here almost 3 months now. But due to the our heavy program, because AK Party is right now at the Congress process, we have started with the towns, now we are starting our city Congress, and end of the year, our second big Congress will take place. Therefore, I could not come. I apologize for that delay.
Better late than never.
I have prepared a very nice 15-page things before. But when I came in last night, I talked to Bülent. I thought I should just drop this away and talk spontaneously on the things which I think you are very curiously expecting. I think what we were before, even before we were a party, we were telling that Turkish people also deserve to live in a better democratic and economic environment. So this was our first start of our program. Later on, like Americans does, we actually slogans all our major activities. Like European Union, we said this is this century's program of Turkey, so we have to maintain it. Like the Cyprus issue, we said no solution is not a solution. We have to find a solution to that. Like our neighborhood policies, we said zero problem with our neighbors, of course, starting with our neighbors, then enlarging it as large as possible. We said Turkish-American relations are crucially important. We build it up, these relations, in 50 years. Of course, there would be ups and downs, but the most important thing is we have to maintain good relations with the United States. And all those things I have mentioned, we have put them in our program. Even before we were a party, during the election, in our election manifesto, then as urgent action program to our 58th and 59th government programs. What I'm trying to say is we have told to Turkish people, to our European and American friends, what we were going to do. And we are just following what we have promised to Turkish people and to our friends. So, with this startup, maybe before that I should also say that how we have decided on the priorities. Before the party was established, we went for a public opinion poll, and we did this on 45,000 people in the rural area or urban area from different groups, men's, women's, different working groups, and everybody. I mean, you could see all the samples of Turkish people in that public opinion poll. And in that public opinion poll, people were telling that European Union is important, that progress is important, the economic development was important, and so on and so forth. So, we have decided to go ahead with those priority as we have declared them in our election manifesto. I could count down four things which we were very disciplined to follow up. One of them was the IMF program. IMF program agreed with the previous government, with Mr. Kemal Dervish's initiative, actually, I should say. First time in Turkey, we have completed one full IMF program. All the previous programs, either we hit the wall or in the between, we had to quit them. But first time we have completed the IMF program, and now we are following the second IMF program in our government. And this program starts from 2005, and it goes until 2008. 2007, I should mind you, is the election years. So we will follow, no matter what, the new IMF program as well. This has been declared by the Prime Minister and by our Mr. Babacan. Therefore, we will not run, as elections is coming, we will not run an election economy, I should say. So that discipline was very important. Second was, in line with this, our fiscal discipline. What we aim with fiscal discipline, actually, this was described in the previous IMF program. what we were advised, debt to GNP ratio is important. Maintain or lower the debt to GNP ratio. Don't worry about current account deficit. If you can maintain that ratio, how could we do this? With, as you know, public gradually quitting the economy, public sector would be just be as an advisor or controller coordinator and leave the things to private sector as much as possible. That discipline, fiscal discipline, was another key issue for the economic successes. I would come later, maybe. Then, of course, the success of the program, everybody follows, so I don't go to details. We had discipline with our European Union process, as we call this century process. And we are telling to Turkish people that we should learn to jump up together. If some of us jumps and the others try to walk, we will all fall down. Therefore, we are trying to make consensus as first time in maybe Turkish parliaments, both with the opposition and us. We sit down together and we have given also priority to the European Union reform programs. That is how we get the title of reformist government in Europe. And that is how now, within these 2 years, I value this very much. People are saying that if Mr. Erdogan promises, he will deliver. That discipline was very important. And discipline with our U.S. relations. Despite difficulties, when we took over the government, there were parallel problems, the Cyprus issue, the Iraq issue together. We had to maintain both relations under the control. And as everybody is aware of, there was 1st of March motion. But right after the voting in the parliament, we get in contact with the U.S. authorities. How shall we continue as the government to work together, especially on the Iraqi issues? Then after that, we passed from the parliament to opening up the airspaces and then bringing Turkish troops in as a peacekeepers. Of course, later on, you know what happened. Now, or after that, helping to build the democracy in Iraq, keep Iraq as a single country, unified country. As you know, recently we convinced, together with Mr. Khalilzad, to convince Sunnis to take part in forming new democracy in Iraq and forming new, or kinds of preventing actually civil war, which all of us are now very much afraid of taking place. Also, I think we are saying that not only in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Kosovo, in other major international issues, we are trying to synchronize our foreign policy with the Americans. And, of course, now, as we are an accession negotiating countries, with the European Union as well. That synchronization is very important. Of course, without the support of the American government, of our European Union process, their continuous encouragement, I don't think we would go 4 steps where we have started in 2002 in Copenhagen. From the country in 2002, whether we would be getting the negotiations or opening up the negotiations, December 17, 2004, actually before that, October 6, 2004, progress reports, and so on and so forth. And then 3rd of October. Now Turkey, no matter what, is a country who has started negotiation with the European Union. So we have to thank, of course, the U.S. government for that support. And we need further support because, you know, our European friends, the perception in Turkey is that, look, guys, no matter what we do, the Europeans will find an excuse to keep us out or to try to keep us out. Or they will try to show us other addresses than full membership. Therefore, our cooperation with the United States or their support is very essential and very important. So, as we are following up, I'm jumping from economics to foreign politics and vice versa. As you know, nowadays there is not only foreign ministries, there is foreign economic relations as the foreign offices are following up, not only in the problematic regions, but in the normal relations. It is more foreign economic relations than the foreign relations. So what we are aiming, or we were aiming, one was to contribute to global peace with our international partners. So that is why we were very active in Afghanistan, in Kosovo, in Iraq, in other problematic areas. Second, we had to contribute and protect as much as possible to our capacity, our regional peace. As I said at the beginning, our main foreign policy slogan was zero problem with our neighbors. That is how we are doing it with the Greece, with the Bulgaria. All 13 neighboring countries before us, total trade volume, excluding the energy, with our neighbors was around $3 billion. Today, we have $25 billion. And this is still the lowest, I think, considering other countries. I mean, take the United States. What is the trade volume of the United States with their neighbors, with the other countries around here? Contribute to protect the regional peace. And, of course, observe our national interests was the aim. So what we have done so far, again, we have followed our urgent action plan, both in domestic economies and international politics. As we promised to Turkish people, we have improved our relations with all our neighbors. As you know, the recent event, the National Bank of Greece buying the one Turkish banks, 46% of the Turkish banks, a Greek bank, buying Turkish banks, despite all these problems, yes. What we have taught to Turkish people is dialogue, even if you have problems. What was the previous attitude? Push the table and quit the table. No, maintain the dialogue. Yes, there are difficulties with Greece still, but dialogue has to continue. The approach, win-win approach, Turks never know this before. So you have to give forward one foot and the others would have to come up. Those were very important symbols, and we are still following them up. Second success, we have managed to start accessing negotiation. I should summarize quickly where we are standing now. The screening process are continuing. Most of the chapters has been finished. With the Austrian presidency, we are hoping that this year we will start negotiating the chapters of science and technology. We have one difficulty, though, especially the French and some other countries are saying that the political criteria should be within this negotiation framework, although the European Commission, when they declared their negotiation framework, they said, or as we know in the other enlargement processes, this is a technical process. What is the technical process? In screening, you will find out what are the deviation between Turkish rules and regulation versus the European rules and regulations. And negotiation means, technically, how long it will take to converge our regulations to Europeans, because they are the club we are trying to enter, what will be the period, and who will be sharing the costs. Hopefully, they will help us to share the cost, although they said absorption capacity might not be enough or might prevent their contribution, but still, that is the thing. Although, because elections is approaching, the national feelings by our opposition is trying to be pumped up, we will not quit this process, the European Union, with one single aim, to be a full member. Refuse to end up with any other addresses. But we are a negotiating country. There will be very tough, difficult times. As Cyprus or other issues, although they are not part of this technical negotiation process, they will try to bring in issues which are outside of Copenhagen political criteria into the this process or onto the table. We will try to deal with those, but we will continue with it. Cyprus.
I was waiting for this.
We said, as I said, no solution is not a solution. We have insisted United Nations to bring us on the table together. Famous Annan plans, the Greek side's refusals of the plan and the Turkish side's acceptance with big majority, by taking political risk of our government convincing the Turks in the islands to say yes. This was a plan supported by the U.S. governments, by the European Union, and by the other powers, but still it was refused by the Greek sides. Of course, there were promises by the European Union and by the Americans, and especially the United Kingdom as well, that the isolations would be lifted, economic embargo would be lifted, European Union would open an office in the north as well. Those did not take place. The government in the north is trying to continue to follow steps, a kind of confidence-building process. Same as Turkish government, as you know, we have lifted all kinds of visas to the Greek sides of the islands. They can just come in on the border, they can get the visa. And actually, last year, there were 40,000 islanders from the south to come and visit the Turkey. So the people's dialogue would further push up the permanent peace into the island. We are hoping that. Where do we stand now? Of course, as you know, in Davos, Mr. Erdogan has seen Annan again and asking him fifth time to bring us back to the table. The Papadopoulos every day inventing new conditions to come back to the table. How much time do I still have? I think if when this comes to Q&A, where do we stand? As you know, the recent declaration of our foreign minister, Gules, this 10 items plan, let's lift all conditions, all the isolations into the island jointly. So we also opened our ports and airspace to South Cyprus government, and it's still standing there. There will be election in the south. We are hoping that those parties in the South, DC, the chairman of the party, Mr. Anastasiades, gains more weight so that he has also close relations with the government in the North, and we can continue where we are, where we have stopped. Now, maybe a little bit on the economics, but we have succeeded.
Can you wrap it up quickly, and then we can
deal yes. with that, please. So that we managed to grow the Turkish economy 16 consecutive quarters. In Turkey, you would see in the first year 5% growth, and the next year 9% decrease, and then 3%. So you would have a curve like this. But we have now a positive slope, always over 5%. So a kind of confidence building in there as well. We maintained the psychology of the economy for all players in Turkish economy, domestic or international players, I'd say. We do have good reports from the rating institutions or investment companies, foreign investment companies. We, as I said, declare and continue to declare that the IMF programs will be followed up, fiscal discipline will be followed up. We will not give up from that point. Inflation is still coming down. Interest rates are still coming down, now the 13%. One thing which is very important, mismatches in Turkish financial sector has disappeared. What is mismatches? The liability sides of the Turkish banking system or Turkish economy was based on 1 month average or longest 6 months borrowing liability. The banks could only borrow from the saver as a deposit 1 month to 3 months, mostly overnight, and they could lend only to a limited portion of the economy up to 1 year. And the government was the same. The government was borrowing from the state banks because the central bank was independent. They could not borrow from the central bank, from the state banks in a short-term period as well. So there was maturity mismatch and also interest mismatch. So you would you were borrowing overnight. You were lending with the interest for a period of 6 months. And in one day in the economy, as you might remember, 2002, you have to make three times a day very strategic decisions, whether you want to keep your money in Turkish lira, in foreign currency, you want to pay your debt now or not debt. Interest rates would go up to 5,000%, and the bank would tell you, bring my money back, or I'm raising the interest rates from 15% or 50%, we agreed, up to 5,000%. So those things disappeared. Now, that is the quality of foreign money coming in. Thanks again to the IMF program, floating exchange rate. Everybody knows that what risk they are taking and what could happen if, let's say, the exchange rates changes. Trade volume increased tremendously. We are now up to $200 billion trade import and export. Current account deficit growth, but the financing of the current account deficit is seems not a problem. Yes, we are getting a lot of critics or question marks from foreign investors and the rating agencies, but we knew that this was a normal result of the IMF program. It was the back doors of the IMF program that don't worry about current account deficit. This might come. You just observe debt to GNP ratio. That is very important. And as you might remember, when Mr. Dervish borrowed from the IMF, that was about $28 billion, and that is just exactly, that was exactly almost the current account deficit of 2002 period, or the program period of that 2002. Per capita income went up to over $5,000 from $2,500. what we are planning or what we will do if we win the elections again. We'll maintain the IMF program, maintain the structural reforms which we promised to the IMF. We'll maintain the fiscal discipline. We will maintain our EU membership efforts because now, although, as I said, the support from Turkish peoples are decreasing, but after election, I think they will come back. Reform dynamics we will keep alive. These are also very important. And we are very realistic people. We know, everybody in our party knows the importance of Turkish-American relations. As I said, the EU process is, we call it this century process. We build up Turkish-American relations. It's 50 difficult years. One thing with this party is that if we think we made mistake, we could make mistakes as well. We will step back, reformulate our activities, actions, and we will bring us back to these three important items I mentioned, Turkish-US relations, European Union things, and the IMF, very important in the economy. I think I should stop here. There are difficult issues, I know, I heard from you yesterday, but we could go into them in the Q&As if they come. Otherwise, I would just keep quiet.
Okay.
Because I know...
thank you so much. Look, it was always too ambitious, I think, to try and squeeze a review of the goals and achievements of AK JDP into 90 minutes. And I did say 15 minutes to the speaker. I think we've gone... slightly over there by about 15 minutes, but now straight to tonight's episode. But one housekeeping note, we do have the room after 12, so if there are questions, we can stay on for 5-10 minutes afterwards. Now, Junaid Zapsu, without further ado, please.
Thank you. Well, it's getting quite romantic here because I would like to show you a few pictures because, you know, I'm always bored when I have to say something about, you know, accounts and numbers and stuff.
Oh, I thought we were going to see Top Cover Palace or something.
So that's why I just asked, instead of me telling something, you know, with numbers and stuff like that, which is quite boring for myself, but it should be also seeable. I mean, not only just saying, oh, we did this, we did that, etc., things like that. By the way, why did I come? Why did I come? I'm not a politician like Mr. Dishli is a parliamentarian. I'm not. All this way to D.C. and not go to Key West or Vegas, which I would love, which I would really prefer to. And why did I end up in D.C.? I think I'm here because we're not good at, AK Party, we're not good at explaining ourselves and the things we have done and why we are doing it and what are we planning to do. And it's sadly, but we at AK Party, and I learned from my daughter, there's an expression here, excuse my French, we suck at PR. And it's been how many years now we've been to CSIS. That was before the elections. That was 2002, beginning of 2002, right, Glenn? So it's been 4 years now. And I really would like to thank CSIS and Bülent especially for that welcome in those days, because nobody wanted to hear us, nobody wanted to see us. And CSIS was the first opened his doors. And Tayyip Bey, then chairman of the party, explained our plans. And that's why, actually, we're also here with our friends. Within that period, actually not that period, not 4 years, but it's been only 40 months, when you think of that, since we have the responsibility as AK Party to rule the country, to govern the country. And we passed our exams which we really studied a lot for these exams. Let me see what we have here. Okay. As an example, the GDP per capita, is that the one? Yep. Maybe I should go like this a little. Is up 100%. Come on, in 40 months, up 100%. In 83 years history of modern Turkey, Turks never got that rich. That is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. But I will not bore you with further numbers and statistics. Şaban Bey is the man for economy here. Everything is shown here. When you put numbers, the other ones, maybe number 2, 3, 4. Yeah, unemployment, we were not that good, but it's, I will, if somebody asks afterwards, I will tell you why. Inflation, look at the numbers here. When we took over, 30-something, right now, 7. For the first time in 40-something years, again. And, yeah, look at the growth numbers. Not bad either. And by the way, this growth is not like someone tells me to, tries to tell me here yesterday, I heard that, oh, it's just because of fiscal policies, etc. It's very clear, it's because of investment from the private sector. And, well, she likes to do that, but... And we haven't been able... And we haven't been able to explain that we achieved also something for the human rights. You know, the Prime Minister and I, sometimes we're not always agree on the term conservative Democrat identity he wants to give us, you know. Conservative Democrat, how can I party be conservative? The party who is conservative, how can it manage to pass 984 laws, of which, by the way, 396 have direct to do with human rights in under 40 months? What kind of conservatism is this? I mean, I would rather say we are the only real revolutionary party after Atatürk, Turkey has seen. And yes, we did not, we not only did we speak 4 years ago of what are we going to do. In 40 months, we did them. And many of U.S. Americans still think Midnight Express, bad cops, Iron Curtain laws, Kafka-style bureaucracy, when you think of Turkey. And that's where the kids are in the thing, I guess. But I'm not sure, but most of are not aware at this very moment, our human rights laws are rapidly catching those found in, say, Scandinavian countries already. And a last reform package will go through Parliament just before the summer holidays this year. And then I think we made it after that last one. And in fact, some of us do suspect that we went too far with those rights and freedoms. Doesn't this sound familiar to you? Too much freedoms, too much rights. Foreign policy? Well, the Turkey that only 44 years ago was close to a state, to a country who was in war with its neighbors. Remember Syria, etc., and Greek, Kardak. Now has made peace with all of them. With our direct relations with the Muslim world, the Christian world through the EU, and NATO, and through our relations, direct relations with Israel, I think we've taken a unique place in this world. And, you know, in the G8 2 years ago, our prime minister was given the responsibility, the task actually, of preventing a Muslim-West clash through taking initiative. And we do try to do these things. And the Turks say okay to that because they are with us. Just can we have a poll result? I think. Okay. That's 22nd of March. A poll with over 5,000 something.
Which one was that, poll mark?
I'm not sure. I don't remember the name, but I don't know whether we did gave it to the press. This one is the newest one we have. So it's not that bad, as you can see. But we did not establish the right PR mechanism to explain any of the things. And you know what else we did? I mean, we left the stage to explaining to the so-called civilian elite groups of Turkey, who started to lose their privileges with every single new law out of this 900-something. They understood that they couldn't win on the democratic platform and therefore are looking for solutions by propaganda activities abroad. And these so-called elite groups have started to use their old channels to spread their propaganda, and unfortunately, very unfortunately, some of our friends here in the US did believe in that and have begun to spread this without checking and double-checking properly. You know what? And that's why I think I'm here and not in Vegas or in Key West today. You know, I didn't come here to sweet talk and do some blah blah and whatever. This we did, we are so good, we are so beautiful and whatever. And I'm not a politician, and that's why I can say whatever comes into my mind and nobody will tell me, oh, you disturbed our good friendship and whatever. And I think I'm just an ex-businessman who doesn't really much know about a lot of stuff but tries to give his best for U.S.-Turkish relations. And I'm going to be jumping from topic to topic because we don't have so much time in an attempt not to bore you. And so don't be surprised if I touch a lot of stuff and go to somebody, some other stuff afterwards. How I did go into this, the whole stuff? Well, after our late President Özal, Turkey was going down a very steep hill. Everybody knows that, I think, here. And the people in control were quite incompetent, and of course then corruption came, and corruption became common. Unfair competition was everywhere. Now is this businessman seeing that. And the economy was sinking every day, and of course, as a result, democracy suffered. Late 90s. And I remember one day, my eldest daughter, afraid of things which were happening around me because I was the friend of Tayyip Erdogan, she asked me, Daddy, she was afraid, Daddy, why are you doing this? We don't need that. And couldn't she stop helping Tayyip Abi? Abi means elder brother, as you all know. So I told her the terrible story of Manisa, an Aegean village where youngsters, high school people, girls, boys, were captured by police because of writing some leftist things on the walls and were tortured. And everybody knew what happened, who did, what did, but nobody was being punished, was put into prison because, you know, there were cops and stuff. But on the other side, you know, I told this to my daughter, she cries, I cry. I remember that day very well. And I told her also what happens to her Tayyip Abi, who was just stripped from his office and had to go to prison because someone didn't like his ideas. Because, come on, everybody knows that he would be in prison even if he would read out the fairy timetables of Istanbul instead of this whatever. And, yes, that was Turkey then. And I told her, I said, I don't want to live in this country. And right now I see a light where I could help to change this. And I will try my best. Give me 3-4 years. If I did it, wonderful. If not, I will emigrate. She was just before going to Tufts University in Boston. And I said, maybe I go to together with you to Boston and learn Chinese kitchen or something like that. And for this reason, together with friends like Xiaoban Bei, we founded a party with under the leadership of Taib Bei, which a man which I really trust completely. And I worked on the party program, and 4 years ago have passed, which I gave 4 years to my daughter, but I'm still here. And I believe in what we did and what we are doing, and so does my daughter, I hope. Today, and I'm proud of being the founder of this body, which has brought back human rights. Still trying, at least on paper, it is back, and we need time to implement. But due to misunderstandings and a lot of miscommunication, here I am again explaining. And let us look what we said and what we did, and then we can decide who has changed. Because I started hearing, oh, Turkey has changed, they're going back to the roots, and they're, you know, the hidden agenda, second agenda thing coming back with the Islamic stuff. Let's look what who did change. Human rights. And okay, eight packages. We have the new one coming. Yes, I said that about the laws, death penalty. Okay, torture, abolition of torture. What does that mean? It means zero torture, zero, zero tolerance for that. And every week, Monday before noon, there is a committee in Ankara, in the Prime Minister's office, looking to every information coming from all over Turkey, even telephones, faxes, everything is being looked up, how we are doing. Because, you know, of course, you cannot change somebody who is, let's say, 50 years old, and from one day to another, you say, no, you may not touch this guy. So it will last quite long, I guess. But we have to start from somewhere. You know, but another thing. In today's, let's say, Iran or Afghanistan, if a writer criticizes the regime, comes under, he's been prosecuted and would even have a death penalty, I would say the outside world wouldn't take so much notice of it, and it wouldn't make so much big thing out of it. But look at the new Turkey now. In the new Turkey, a court case was opened against one of our writers, Orhan Pamuk, by a prosecutor who obviously is still living in the past and didn't very well know what changed already. And oh my God, the pressure, the criticism and the visits we received because of that from all over the world. Wonderful, isn't it?
It's not a nice picture. Wasn't a nice picture.
I don't want to see only, you know, the Raku and you know, the Göbek dancer thing here, and the nice beaches. And I think that's good, because I might be shocking some people here when I say this is good, because the old governors of Turkey, the old guard who governed Turkey, would take a psychological defense thing and would say, what is it of yours when I do, this is my inner politics and stuff like that. No way. I think there are still a lot giving those kind of reactions. I think the new Turkey is important for the world. That's why everybody is after us and looking, hey, what are you doing and what not. I think that's quite good. And by the way, of course, nothing happened to the writer because of the new laws anyways. Can you find this number 12 or 13, I think? Yeah, okay. Number 12. Yeah, that's right. That's the one before. Yeah, that is number four. I don't know what you can see here. That's a picture.
Somebody's being beaten up.
Somebody's being beaten up. March 8, 2005, demonstration in Istanbul. Women get beaten. Not nice. We got a lot of calls, very, very tough notices and visits from EU officials. Good. It helps us to get where we want, where we want to go. But look at these pictures maybe again. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not very good seeable. Sorry about that. But it's approximately the same thing. Women get beaten. And it's not only Istanbul. Paris, the second picture afterwards, 49 days later. And then, again, Hamburg, April 26th, same year. So why I'm telling you all this is, it's not to tell you, oh, we are right and they're wrong or something like that. I don't want to cry about that. No. These are things that shouldn't happen at all. But these are also things that do not happen in my country only. And think for a moment of our own psychology. Every week, our foreign justice internal affairs ministers get together to review human rights violations, in addition to issues brought by newspapers. We also review violations brought to our attention through phone, fax, emails. Of course, it will take time for new laws to be digested. And I think in the U.S., southern states, when you think of that, you have seen that it takes more than just to change a law to eradicate African-American discrimination, right? We're hopeful, however, that our laws, our new laws, will take hold quickly, much quicker, because we have a very young, eager-to-learn population, economy. Shaban Bey talked more detailed about it. Important is that we reached our goals and established the basic environment for market economy, transparency, and equal opportunities. A quick sentence maybe to some of you here who are interested in that for the defense industry, because that is what U.S.-Turkish economic relations was before. As you may know, the Turkish military is largely supplied by equipment, machinery made in the U.S., but lately supplying companies also from EU and Israel are getting more and more contracts. And the reason for that is not we don't like the Americans anymore. No way. But technology transfer and FDI, foreign direct investment, is being needed in Turkey. Today's Turkey is not only buying everything ready-made. Today's Turkey is trying to get as much as possible value addition in our own country. And a lot of Europeans and Israelis are seeing that and giving us the transfer, technology transfer thing. But there are some problems here in the U.S. still. And about another thing, maybe our party, of course, acknowledges the existence of the Kurdish problem, which we wrote also in our program 5 years ago. We are in favor of a resolution that will ensure the integrity of our country's borders and the freedom, happiness, and rights of our people. And we view the publication in different languages as a positive contribution to cultural diversity, not as a threat. We have made it legal for publications to be released in languages other than Turkish. But again, it takes time to push change through bureaucracy sometimes. And also, as a party, we aimed for the removal of OHAL, a kind of soft martial law thing. You know, we gave also a lot of extra incentives for any projects in those troubled areas. And my name is Zapsu. That's a river in that, coming, originating in that region. And a part of my family is Kurdish. For some ill minds, this is enough to be a separatist traitor. And so I know what I'm talking about when I talk about that problem. So a small example of what we are doing now. roads between Van and Başkale. That's Van is in the eastern Turkey, and Başkale is on the border of in the southeast corner. Have been blocked due to snow all the time, 8 months a year. And people living in Başkale just didn't see any neighbors, any neighboring villages for months. Easy to solve, right? Yes, of course easy to solve, and we solved it. But now, 0 days blockage. But I keep on asking myself, why did we have it to solve? Why not before? Such an easy thing. So there were some things in the past which we didn't do right, I guess, in Turkey. Another word to those who got angry at us for inviting the Syrian president to Turkey, remember last year? By the way, he still didn't come. Because the terrorists, killing of American soldiers coming in and going in and out from Syria, that was the thing why people got angry with us. We are supposed to cease our relations with Syria for this reason? Okay. I'm up for that. If there's a situation that, such as that our ally, the USA, should give us the intelligence that backs up the claim, they should tell us, listen, these guys, they are baddies, they're doing this and that and whatever. And then we could look into the strategies to overcome this problem. And afterwards, if we are not, after we say yes, and we know the strategies, we know the plan, if we are then not going along with that, then I think a country has the right to criticize, not before. But when we are being left in the dark, we don't know anything about the U.S. thinking strategies about Syria, for an example. Is it not more than a bit just a bit unjust to say, oh, how dare you, etc.? And they, with a neighbor, come on, we are neighboring. We are over 500 miles borders. I think we need a bit more information what our ally wants to do in that area. And here in Washington, we are being accused of Islamism. From some, I hear that still. Okay, but if this were true, then how come we are at the doors of the EU? Why are we suddenly so cozy with the Christian club? That's the club over there, yeah. And of course, nationalism is on the rise in Turkey, but let's look at the latest studies. That was 3rd of November.
Julia, can you wrap it up? It's almost
22. Oh, okay. I have to be quick. I will do that. As you can see, the nationalistic front gained. That's normal, but very few. And even the very nationalist Turks are pro-EU with nearly 40-50%, I have to tell you another thing. And on top of that, it's quite normal for every country that begins integration with the EU. Some people thought the Polish people would reject the final treaty. In fact, it's even pretty subdued in Turkey. Think about it. The man on the street's perception, and they were used to governments who do everything what NATO tells them, the U.S. tells them, and now EU came into it. We're doing also what everything EU is telling us. And we privatize everything. We are selling off the country, and foreign investment is rolling in and buying up big businesses like banks, like Shahban Bey just said, and telecommunication, everything. Hotels, houses, they buy up everything. Even my mom asked me, and she confessed her fears when she said, "Kida, are you not selling too cheap? Are you sure?" And in the meantime, we are very good friends with our classical enemies like the Greeks and whatever, and we even sell them our banks. This is Islamism. Ah, oh, come on. Cyprus, of course, we are accused of sellout when we went along with the EU and UN and USA plans, the Annan plan. What came out? Northern Cyprus, the good guys now, who said yes, was punished with further isolations. And the baddies, right now the baddies, it changed. They were rewarded by acceptance in the EU. So few of the American senators who went to Southern Cyprus, that was, wow, hell broke out here in the lobbies, right, when they came and visited Northern Cyprus, sorry. And if we were Islamists and had our secret or hidden agenda, would we bother ourselves with such things? And if the Turkish population were really Islamist, would we come to these polls and to these outlooks? Look at the political parties once more. I mean, I don't think so. And I really don't think that I'm dumb. I believe in Tayyip Erdogan. That's another story. Anti-Americanism, a few words, if you allow me. Why is it happening?
You're now entering the valley of the wolf, right?
Of course. Of course, because, you know, I think we should open that and not leave it only to the Q&A because we don't have so much time. Maybe it answers a lot of cues here. Why is that happening? It worries me too. First, there's the mess in Iraq. The things that have happened in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. And you should understand that Turks are Muslims and feel a real sense of kinship with other Muslims. But this is not Islamism. Don't mix that up with Islamism. It is more like the sense of solidarity that the Jewish community always in the whole world feels with each other. And I must be frank, America has not convinced the Turkish people that you have really investigated the abuses and put a stop to them. Maybe that's perception, but everyone knows. Perception, that's the reality on the streets. More important, of course, right now is the PKK actions. In the last 2 years, PKK terrorists have killed, I think, somewhere around 270 military and police forces in Turkey. And this is a lot. We're not in a war zone. This is really a lot. Those terrorists have bases in northern Iraq. We all know that. We have asked America to do something about it. And we have been given a lot of promises. I heard it myself. Nothing has been done, though. Nothing. The result is that the polls in Turkey show only that 14% only believe that the USA Middle East policies have been successful. And the percentage, that's really frightening, that sees the US as a hindrance to world peace is 74%. And everybody should like to change this thing. So, but this reality is that even if Mr. Erdogan himself goes out and says nice things about the USA, it wouldn't be enough now. It's too high, 74%. If not backed by actions also from the US, so it's not enough that we are doing something back home. Negative thoughts have grown. And some change in politics, or at least the appearance of some change, is necessary. So it's not good complaining, no good that complaining that our leaders don't do enough speeches and stuff. And, okay, I'm leaving out the whole central bank thing, because I don't have so much time now. What about the films and books? Okay. That's the Q&A. Okay, I'm leaving out also the Hamas thing. I had three things I'm leaving out. So I understand you made a big mistake to let me talk, you know. Because once I get started, it's very hard to stop me here. And I come
to... The longer you speak, the less you will have to face the tough questions. So keep going.
That's what I'm doing, try to do that, you know. And I've come here to visit some old friends here and to listen to problems and to explain some of my own, and I thank you for listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Could I ask everyone to speak to the microphone because we are recording the event, so...
Okay.
The 12 o'clock limit. So all those who can stay beyond, please do so for about 5-10 minutes. But Junaid Zapsu said that he's among...
I have one complaint, though.
Go ahead.
Junaid get applause, and I did get nothing.
All right. All right.
I was a romantic.
Okay. Junaid Zapsu said that he's among friends, and there's a saying that friends... Can speak bluntly to friends. Well, let me do so. I mean, I'll be the devil's advocate here. Very quickly, You talked about misunderstandings and miscommunications. I'm sure that's important. But there may be some substantial problems in the relationship with the U.S. And I think the relationship needs a redefinition. And just saying that everything is okay, which is what happened when Mr. Erdogan came to Washington in June, saying, in effect, that we don't need a new page because everything was fine before. Frankly, I don't agree with that, and I think it's the wrong approach to take. But happy to go into that. Secondly, on EU and Cyprus, I take that the Cyprus threat to the entire EU process very seriously. It's quite clear from what Mr. Erdogan said that you are not going to open up the ports and airports, and it's quite clear on the EU side that they're not going to back down on this issue. What happens when the irresistible force on this issue meets the immovable object that Mr. Erdogan keeps on repeating on a daily basis? And what does that do to your domestic reform agenda? Good question. Third, in terms of the regional approach, fine. Good to be on good terms with your neighbors, but what happens when that runs into your desire to maintain a good relationship with the Western world in general and the U.S. in particular? Cases in point, Iraq to some extent, before and during the March 1st vote, and subsequently Iran and Syria. Just a little point. Both of you know Ms. Bakoyannis. She's now the foreign minister of Greece. Both of you have referred to the Annan plan. Ms. Bakoyannis just said the Annan plan is dead. What does that do to your approach or your explanation of what it was that you did on Cyprus, and what plans do you have for a possible post-Annan plan period that I think we have entered into that Mr. Erdogan has simply not acknowledged? Finally, and you know this may be the most important of all, from this podium and in what we have written, the CSIS Turkey project took the issue of corruption before 2002 very seriously. And Mr. Erdogan, when he came to CSIS, talked about how he was going to go after corruption in Turkey, that this was a clean party. Every time I go to Turkey, I hear stories about certain ministers, and one particular minister has faced three debates in the National Assembly on this issue. Sure, you're popular, but is this a problem as you perceive it, and how do you intend to tackle it? Okay, I kick that out. Either of you or both of you. Right. Any way you want to take it. Either of you?
They were quite commentative, by the way. Will.
Maybe start with Cyprus issue. We promised to everybody that we will be one step further, and if we are around the table, we will always show this goodwill and we will practice this goodwill. Now, you sound like there is a deadlock, but now the Cyprus issue is all of our everybody's issue. I mean, if you want peace in that region, We need support of our friends in the United States. We need support of the EU. Yes, EU is forcing us to open up the gates. Saying that the protocol, which we have signed in December 17, requires that. Although, since from the beginning of talking with the Europeans, since 2002, we told them that we want a solution in Cyprus, but that solution should be permanent, should be based on political equality. Of course, yes, people in the south are more crowded than to the north, and the piece of land there is larger than the north, but political equality should be observed, and should we should maintain that. And I think we have done everything, starting from confidence buildings, opening the gates, lifting the visa regimes, opening the trade possibilities, establishing the new courts, which would really search what happened to the lands of Southerns who quit or who had to quit. All the issues which are or were on the table. And I mean, even more or less, Junaid mentioned the visits of U.S. senators were so important to help us in this psychologically in this marathon. And I think that is why our friends here in the United States should further that attempt to bring Papadopoulos back on the table. We even we told this to Simitis, the previous Greek government. Let's sit together first. Let's find some coefficients which we could agree. Then we could call both sides of the island. He says, no, I cannot come to the table, which I don't expect any solution. Let's say now we have opened up the borders. We will be blackmailed by the South 62 more times. South as well as European Union. Normally, again, Cyprus is not within the Copenhagen political criteria, but they continue to bring it back on the table. So we said this from the beginning. We even in December 17, 2004, we said Cyprus should, we have done what we were supposed to do. Now it is up to the Papadopoulos to bring us his new conditions.
And he's not going to do it. So what are you going to do? It's very simple. I mean, I need to put it down. What are you going to do now?
We will not go further. That is why we need the help from the big players. Now we have, for example, Angela Merkel, the very heavyweight of the European Union, the new leadership. We have to talk and convince her. We are talking to the Islamic Conference Organization. We are talking to our neighboring countries to lift the isolation, to lift the economic embargo, because people in the north start getting very pessimist. And the leadership in the north start getting pessimist. Therefore, the good coalition start having some problems. We will just continue to talk to our friends.
Go ahead. Can I just add one thing about the Cyprus thing? I think we reached a point where it stops now. You know, the Prime Minister says we will always be one step ahead. Now we were always one step ahead, but right now we are maybe, in the meantime, 10 steps ahead, because we were one step, the other step didn't come. Then two, second, third, fourth. Now we're 10 steps ahead.
So what happens now?
And right now, we're just saying stop until something happens with the isolations. We won't go further. That's
you know,
reality.
I know
exactly. And you know what? I know Miss Dora very well. Very nice, very pretty lady, and I'm pretty sure that she is beautiful enough to even what do you call it? Is there an expression like? Bringing the deaths alive from the grave.
She's not that cute.
She's very nice. I believe in that. Thank you.
All right.
One more thing. I during my presentation, I said now we are in 2006, and next year is the election year.
Right.
We are not in 2004, 2005 anymore. Don't expect more from us. The politicians, second or actually first aim is to be re-elected. So you have to consider domestic politics a bit more as well. So in 2006, we will open up a chapters on, as I said, science and technology. We will continue with it. 2007 is an election year. 2000 onwards, we will be re-elected.
Okay.
And then we will continue.
All right. Now, there are lots of questions. First, and then Savaş Sizal. Like I said, we're going to go 5-10 minutes beyond. Okay, Scott.
Thank you very
I think one should look at Turkish-Israel relations. And where we stand now as ACT Party government, the trade volume increased to $2.6 billion. I think on the Hamas thing, we do share same objectives with the Israelis and with the Americans. What is that objective? To maintain the roadmap. Hamas quits what they were before, and everybody wants to see Hamas as a government who democratically won the elections and continue the previous Palestinians' roadmap. So the same objectives, but we might have tactical, strategic problems here. We thought talking to their leadership directly, it is very important what we tell them. It is not important whom was invited or why was important. What we have told them. Mr. Gül, in 20, 25 minutes, very straightly told them that if you are Hamas as you choose to be, we are with you. We can open up gates for you. But if you are a Hamas as you were before, don't expect anything from us. But if you are Hamas as previous Hamas, who will suffer? The Palestinians and the Israeli people will suffer. So what was the purpose? We have, together with the Israeli trade, how do you say, chambers of trade, commerce, the Turkish chambers of commerce and the Palestinians, we were trying to build a free zone, trade zones, open up Palestinians' economy to the world trade and whatever. We were planning many things together. We wanted to maintain that. We want still to maintain that. There could be, of course, we get a lot of critics. We did not inform right time before and this and that. But during Davos, Mr. Erdogan had an interview with the television, Al Jazeera, was it? And he was asked, what would you do if they wanted to come? And he says he would see them until they are a government as the party, not as Turkish government. When did they came? February 22nd, or how many time? Almost a month time. What warning we get from our Israeli or American friends? Don't see them or anything? We did not get anything. Again, if you have small doubt about our intention, then we have to go and write down plus and minuses. What would ACT Party gain from this thing? Could we gain some political votes because we invited Hamas? I don't think so. Could Turkey gain from this? Yes, if we were successful. And if there was a tiny hope that we will be successful, and I hope we are seeing some sign of this success, with further pressures, of course, coming from here. If they were first in Iran or in Egypt talking to Muslim brothers and get further encouragement for them, because it is in their benefit to encourage them for further activities, terrorist activities, I think you have to make those calculations. We have to talk afterwards from the Prime Minister to Foreign Minister, we from the ACT Party, all our friends in Israel. And I keep asking these questions. Do you have any doubt about our intention? What would we gain? It is coming back to the hidden agenda. We wouldn't gain anything from it. If we are successful, we hope we can be successful, only the Palestinians and the Israeli people will benefit from it. Because at those days, Israel was in election process. The Sharon, I hope he gets well as quick as possible, he was in hospital. And the new election in the Palestinians, we had to tell them in our culture, direct talking, face-to-face talking is important. We say, look at my eyes and my lips, you will understand what I am trying to tell. This should be looking from this point. And I don't understand I am talking very honest here, not as a politician, as an individual, and I hope I have certain ability to understand people. I don't understand why this thing is still so alive here. Because we have, as I said, talked to the Israeli government, we have talked to the embassy. There could be, again, some problems with the way they came, they were treated, whatever. The most important thing is the intention, and later on we will look at the results, what we will gain. How could this damage Israeli's policies towards Hamas or the American policies towards Hamas, this talk? What that would defect? That should be asked, I think.
Maybe just very quick, two words very quick. I understand the problem here. I love to play chess, and so you have to put yourself to the other side. I understand the problem, what's going on here. And I don't think that it is what we said. I think it is how we said it and why didn't we tell it before to our friends, etc., before. But please take this to account. The Prime Minister gave his interview. I think it was Al Jazeera in Davos. We were all together. That was the day when they were chosen. And he said, yeah, if they would come as a party, we would talk to them because they just won the elections. And everybody understood that. And we got, as far as I know, we got all of a sudden a visa thing from them 24 hours before. And we didn't know what to do, you know, 24 hours before. They got the invitation from that channels. And so we did had very, very few hours to explain the whole situation to our EU friends and US and Israeli friends. So that is maybe, that was the whole thing about. But of course, everybody's learning. The other side is what we said was right. And I think it was right that we said it before they heard other stuff from Iranians, because these people, you have to think of them, they are maybe 50 years, 45 years old, 50 years old. They were just born into war. And they don't care if somebody whom they don't trust anyway, if they tell them, don't do this, don't do that. They don't care. They say, okay, I fight another 50 years. But they would listen, we think, and I still think that, they would listen rather to somebody whom they can trust more than to somebody who tells them, no, first you have to do this, first you have to do that. Thank you.
It's an important issue, so Shavandish wants to add just one more thing. My apologies for the lateness again.
I am asking myself, why do our friends always have doubts about AK Party? Are we not telling to the Turkish peoples, despite what Cüneyt has given us statistically, that we are within the Greater Middle East projects with the United States, democratizing the countries, difficult countries in that region? One should very well understand the cost and difficulties to keep the right to survive in our geography. It is very costly, and it is very difficult. We would be much more different if we were a country in the Europe than a country now. How much do we have to spend in the spends and in the tourism and this and that? We are partners in that big project. We declare it very openly. In every Tuesday, Mr. Erdogan's meeting, he tells to Turkish MPs, our party's MPs, that we are together with the Americans in that great Middle East project, and we will continue with that project. We tell every occasions, every meeting with the Arab states that you have to take care of yourself. The energy for democracy coming from the real people, Arab people, you have to follow that up. I mean, we are not talking this behind the doors. We are talking to them also very openly, as we were very open to Hamas again. Thank you.
The problem may be that the U.S. may itself be having some doubts about democracy, if at least the situations like Hamas, but that's another debate that we won't get into. Savas Suzal and then Hassan Mesutazak. Go ahead.
Can you make
Okay. You said that you are in the Kurdish origin, right?
No, I didn't say that. I just said part of my family. Yes.
Part of your family, okay. In the southern part of the Turkey is nowadays have a big problems. It's some of the area mayors' behaviors is look like supporting the separatism. As a party, as a government, what are you planning to do against them?
Okay, he asked me, but I would just say one sentence and give it to you, Sir Shaban. I think you're better in this stuff. Because I understood the question, what are you going to do against the mayors? I think the question should be asked, what are you planning to do against the whole problem? Can you say something about that?
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. I mean, it is, of course, big worry and it's bothering us. And the questions actually should be asked, why now? Why that thing was not there, the uprisals of PKK again was not there before? I am very seriously thinking about it. And I have one, again, coming to the 2006 and election year next year, AK Party has won 35% vote in 2002 elections, and then in 28th of March local elections, AK Party further increased the votes in that region. And 11 cities, majority of population being Kurdish, we took 5 mayorship, and we were the second party after them in the region. And especially after our incentives programs we have provided to those cities, what was those incentives? Free land for the domestic or foreign investors, free energy, sharing the cost of labor, and tax freedom for 5 years period. And Mr. Erdogan's declarations about the problem in the region, we think we will get much higher support from the people, Kurdish people in that region. And secondly, European Union start putting pressure from them, especially from gentlemen like Mr. Lagendijk, Camille Erlings, the reporters of Turkey, from the United States, isolate yourself from PKK. PKK is a terrorist organization. Throughout the time, starting from northern Iraq, we're still waiting, hopefully, very soon. Forcing them out from the northern Iraq things. They need cults, PKK, to survive. What we will do? Okay. Well, we will not step back from the freedoms we have gained from these reform packages. But we have to fine tune the freedom versus security things a little bit more. That is why new terror law is coming to the parliaments, but we assure you that there won't be any step back from the freedoms or from the gains to the freedoms. And actually, you have seen in the latest demonstration in Diyarbakir how we have handled things. They put children and women in front. They were throwing Molotov cocktails, burning down all the bank's branches in Diyarbakir. They marked doors to doors what buildings should be destroyed. But still we did not bring in any military or anything. Police tried to cool things down. Yes, unfortunately, there were some casualties. But the governor in Diyarbakir was very careful not to direct engagements with them, and we will maintain this attitude. I think, again, there we need support from European Union. Today there is a debate in European Parliament on the issue. I hope their finalization will be discouraging them from them, and they will advise Turkish governments or Turkish people to cool down, and I think we will do that.
Okay, look, they're trying to push us out of the room, unfortunately, because there is something on, but I'm going to stay at least another 5 minutes. Quick questions, and please, quick answers. Please. Okay, go ahead. And in fact, you know what I suggest? Can you ask your question first, and then Yasemin Chongar, and then we go to the answers.
Okay.
Know that? There's a press conference, actually, tomorrow, so you will be able to ask those questions. But again, if it helps the debate, ask very quickly.
Can I pass?
You pass. Yeah. You'll pass. Anybody else in the room with a burning question now that those two have passed? Well, we can stay for a couple more minutes. Anybody else?
Me. Bilal.
All right, look, let me ask the question that I asked. Corruption. Do you want to tackle it?
I would just one thing adding to the question of Savaş Bey here with the PKK thing. Listen, we got already 35, nearly 40% of the votes in that areas before. And the PKK has no right of living anymore because of the reform packages. Because they got already all the rights, you know, the freedoms and this and that. So there is no, and Turkey going to the EU, etc. So there is no use for PKK anymore. That's why, before the elections, it's the last source to make uproar, to have a very tough reaction from our side, and to use that reaction to live again, to have a right to live. That's what's going on. Because when you look at the theory, what do they want? If you ask a guy on the street, even a PKK sympathizer, I want to have the right. They have the rights already. Okay, so this is what is going on. They will do that within the next 1 year until the elections. We're thinking of that. Thank you.
At least to my satisfaction, that AK Party is still as sensitive on corruption as Tayyip Erdoğan said in this very building.
Yes, Sam is such
a I repeat, we are very sensitive. The recent party meetings with the mayors, actually, we have about 928 mayorship from cities to towns in that meeting. Any news in the media will be considered as a complaint, and the party and necessary government organization will follow them up. The three cases brought against our minister, the debates in the parliament, in three of them, it ended up that CHP, who brought those complaints, were worse than what they were blaming or claiming. Yes, there are a lot of rumors. There are a lot of things going on. What Prime Minister is asking, bring me the hard evidence. If I don't go about after those evidences, then you have right to criticize. There are tremendous attacks on the government by the opposition. Bear in mind that there is an election next year, and I don't blame them, of course, because they could not nail us down from the economy, from the foreign politics, from our relations and whatsoever. The only thing is the national issue they are trying to build up, and these types of issue. Because we are very sensitive on the corruption, we will remain very sensitive on the corruption issues, and you will see the results after the next election, when we won the next election.
Bülent Bey, it's not only results, of course. If there is a proven thing and our Prime Minister doesn't go after, you won't see me here anymore.
Okay. Well, good to hear. Well, I'd like to thank both our speakers and thank you all for coming. Memnun oldum.
Akşam telefonda konuşmuşlar. Size geliyorlar değil mi?
Barry Jacobson yardımcısı.
Yeah.